wherever we are in life, whether we are young, whether we are middle-aged, or whether we are old, I think almost all of us in the audience this morning have experienced or are currently experiencing, or perhaps we will experience at some point, the workplace. For some of us, the workplace is a very enjoyable environment. But for others, it is a very unpleasant environment. And whatever your experience has been or currently is, the place where we work is a big part of our earthly lives. We spend a lot of time there. We expend a lot of effort and energy in the workplace. And so as we continue this year's theme that we are focusing on, that we are studying about, that we are hopefully praying about, that we are looking for ways to live in our lives, this year's theme of About My Father's Will, we do so this morning by learning what His will for us is in the workplace. The passage that our brother Alex just read for us a moment ago from Colossians chapter 3 into the first part of chapter 4 is one of those texts, but we're also going to look this morning at Ephesians chapter 6, and so I would invite you to open your Bible there to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll hopefully be pulling some thoughts from both of these texts this morning. And as you're turning there, let me just issue a welcome to everyone. Thank you for coming and worshiping God with us here at College View. As has already been mentioned, we have several visitors with us today, and we certainly are glad that you have decided to come and to join with us as we give God the praise and honor and glory that He so rightfully deserves, and as we do that, to encourage and to build one another up in our walk and our faith in Him and in His Son. As is always our open invitation for those especially who are visiting with us, especially if you're visiting from the community, if you are not a Christian, if you are interested, I think, in spiritual things, that's why you're here, I assume, this morning. But if you have any comments or questions about our worship to God, about anything that I say as we study together from God's Word, if you just have a spiritual question that you have been wrestling with, that you have been thinking about, if you have a spiritual concern in your life, we would be happy to sit down together with you and open God's Word that we might come to a good and correct understanding of what He has to say. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at the section there that is a parallel text to what Brother Alex just read for us, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there is no partiality with him." Again, this morning, as we think for a little while about doing our Father's will, we want to think about that on the job. How do we do our Father's will in the job? What is our Father's will in the workplace? And I'm just going to, we will look at a few other texts this morning, but basically, stay here in Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3 this morning. There are lots of other things that would apply as we read, especially in the New Testament, even as we read into the book of Proverbs and about God's wisdom for our daily lives. There are some good principles and precepts that we find in that book that can apply to the workplace. But really what I want to do again this morning is just focus on several things, three things in fact, that we can find and pull from these two texts that we have read this morning. And so, number one, to get us started, my Father's will in the workplace is that I first of all show honor and respect in that environment. I don't have to tell you, and we have talked about these two characteristics of honor and respect, even in Brother Todd's Sunday morning class for the last few months on parenting, and trying to, us as parents, as godly, as Christian parents, we're trying to raise our children, we're trying to train and teach our children about a variety of biblical things. Among those is these characteristics of honor and respect. But I don't have to tell you this morning that these two characteristics, honor and respect, really are dying concepts. They are dying characteristics in the kind of culture in which we live today. It is a culture that by and large is a me first kind of culture. It is a culture that is a my rights kind of culture. And we're all about ourselves, it seems to me, many of us who are Americans are. And so we have thrown out a lot of good biblical teaching and a lot of good biblical principles and a lot of good biblical qualities, including honor and respect. However, it is God's will that we who are His children show honor and respect in all of our earthly relationships, including our work relationships. I want you to go, first of all, this morning to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is one of several other passages that we will look at this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 that does say something to us about our workplace relationships and about God's will, our Father's will in that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 beginning, Paul says, "All who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them, because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles." And so the Apostle Paul, as he is instructing the young preacher Timothy here and telling him about some instructions, some things that he is to teach and preach, especially those brethren there in the city of Ephesus and that congregation, he says you need to remind them of some instructions about the slave-master relationship. We don't have really that relationship, thankfully, in our country today, but it certainly was very prevalent in the first century. It has been prevalent in a lot of our history. It is still prevalent in many cultures, some cultures at least, around the world. But I hope that you can see as we look at all of these texts this morning, to try to think about not just slave-master, but think about employee-employer and that relationship that we have at work. And so the Apostle Paul says here in these two verses in 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2, that we need to honor those who are masters, those who have authority over us if we are under them. Verse 2, especially those, if we have a master or an employer, as we're thinking about this morning, who is a Christian, we especially need to honor them, and we especially need to honor them by showing respect for them. I don't believe Paul is telling Timothy there at verse 2, if you have a master, or for us again today, if you have an employer who is not a Christian, you can be disrespectful to them. But he's saying especially if you do have this brother-brother relationship in the Lord, you especially need to make sure that you show respect. And so there are those two concepts, biblical characteristics, of honor and respect. Coming back to these two texts that we've already read this morning, Ephesians 6 and Colossians chapter 3, I want you to notice here that in both of these texts, the first instruction that Paul gives to slaves or to employees today is obedience to masters. And the first instruction that he gives to masters is treating slaves correctly or right. And so you think about where Paul began and looking at both sides of the work relationship, that I'm suggesting to you this morning that really at their core, those instructions have honor and respect. They are addressing those fundamental characteristics of honor and respect. Having set that as a foundation, though, this morning, let's look at some specifics from Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. First of all, for the employee, and many of us in this audience are employees, doing the will of God, as Paul even mentions back in the text in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, here in the workplace demands several things of those who are employees. Number one, he says it demands a sincere submission. It demands a respectful, again, that word respect, a respectful obedience to the employer's rules and orders. And of course, that is always the caveat, as we'll talk about at the end of our lesson this morning. As is true here in this section in Ephesians, really going back to chapter 5 at verse 21, even in our one another relationships in the body of Christ, in the husband-wife relationship, in the parent-child relationship, in the employee-employer relationship. And it's also true of what Paul says about these relationships in Colossians 3, there into the beginning of chapter 4, that it is always with the caveat that we're doing that as to the Lord. We are doing that as to Christ. That this needs to be what characterizes us if we are an employee in the workplace, that we are submitting ourselves to our employer, that we are showing honor, we are showing respect, we are obeying their rules, we are obeying their instructions, we are carrying out the orders they give us. As long as those rules and those orders and those instructions do not conflict with Christ's commands. And so whatever it is, I don't know what it is for your workplace. Maybe there are some workplaces that are a lot stricter about things. There are some workplaces that are more lenient about some things. But just for example, if your employer has a dress code, I don't know if employers really have dress codes much anymore or not, but in some professions it may be that they require you to wear a tie, they require you to wear a suit, they require a woman to wear a dress, things like that. That we as a Christian, because we are trying to do our Father's will, we need to submit to that particular dress code. Again, as long as it does not conflict with something that we can read about in Scripture. I assume that most of us have employers who give us some work hours. There may be some of us in the audience, and I know that there are some of us who are just salaried employees, and maybe we don't have a defined time that we have to be at work in the morning, a defined time that we have to end work, those kind of things. But if you do have work hours, we need to be there on time. And we need to work while we are there. We'll talk about that here in a few moments. It may be that your employer gives you just a certain amount of time. Maybe it's 30 minutes or an hour for a lunch break. And we need to stick to that if we're going to be about our Father's will in the workplace. Doing the Father's will for employees also demands that an employee try to please the employer as best he can. Again, that is assuming that what he wants us to do does not cause any conflict with what God wants us and God commands us to do. And also, more than that, we need to have an agreeable disposition towards the employer. Go to Titus chapter 2 at verse 9. Again, this is another of just a very few texts that I can think of in the New Testament that are addressing what we are talking about this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. Here Paul gives the preacher Titus some instructions that he has to turn around and teach those Christians, those brethren on the island of Crete. In verse 9 he says, "Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, to try to please their master, not argumentative." And so for those of us who are employees that are Christians, this means that we need to try as best we can to have this agreeable disposition with our employer, with our company. What that means in practical terms, just a few things for you to consider, is to refrain, as Paul says there in Titus 2 and verse 9, refrain from arguing. Don't have that argumentative spirit. That may be characteristic of the environment in which we work every day. There may be lots of employees, workers around us who are argumentative, who are people who complain about everything. But we as Christians must be different. This means, I believe, that we as Christians are not to talk back to our employer, just like we're thinking about this parenting class. If our employer tells us to do something, we need to do that. And we need to do that with a good heart. This also includes, I believe, not talking behind our employer's back. And it's not just nowadays that you go into the break room and maybe there is a group of workers or employees there, and you get together and you gossip about the employer, you talk bad about him, but nowadays we can vent all of that on social media. And I have seen some of that, even sadly from some Christians. I don't recall seeing that from anyone of this congregation, thankfully. But I have seen that from Christians that live in other places. And that ought not to be so if we're really serious about doing our Father's will on the job. But as I said to you a few moments ago, it's not just one-sided as Paul speaks about the workplace relationship. There are also some things that he says to those who would be employers. And we have at least a few of this congregation who would be employers. Doing the Father's will in the workplace for those who are employers demands humility and gentleness toward employees. As the Apostle Paul says there at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, that you need to give up threatening, he says, to those who are masters. You need to make sure that you're not misusing your position, that you're not misusing the power or the authority that you have been given over your employees, that you're not using that to threaten them, that you're not using that to intimidate them in some way. Also, for those who are employers, doing the Father's will in the workplace, the man's treating employees in the right way, treating them justly, Paul says there in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1, treating them fairly, treating them impartially. Even though I have been preaching for a number of years now, when I was in high school and college, I had jobs out in the world. And so I know exactly what workplace environments can be like. And sadly, as it is in our country today, in the workplace, and maybe in your workplace, there is what is often called office politics. And everybody's trying to jockey for the best position in the company. And that can be true of the boss, that can be true of the manager, the supervisor, that can be true of the employer. And Paul is saying to those who were masters back during the first century, to those of us who are Christians today that are employers, that we should not be those employers who are playing office politics when it comes to perhaps rewarding or punishing an employee, that we show favoritism toward one employee and we don't show favoritism toward the other. That we need to be like God is in His dealings with us. That we need to be just and right and fair. That we need to be impartial workers and employers. And so as you think about both sides of this work relationship, really I believe these instructions that Paul gives here in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 and 4 can help us understand that whether we are an employer or an employee, if we are a child of God, we must be making sure that we are practicing the golden rule as it is often described in the workplace. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, that in everything therefore treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Again, in every relationship that we have in our life, God, I believe, demands that we His children show honor and respect. We cannot check, as we talked about again in our class, adult class this morning, we cannot check our Christianity when we walk in the door to our job. It must go with us. It must be who we are at every point of our life. So while our Father's will about honor and respect may not be practiced in many workplaces, at least to the extent that it should, we who are His children, we must practice it with all people, whether we're an employee or an employer, so that we will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect, as Paul goes on to say at Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, so that the name of God in our doctrine, our teaching, will not be spoken against, as we just read there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. People are looking at us in the workplace. And if we say that we are a true Christian, if we say that we are really all about doing our Father's will, we need to show that in the way that we treat each other. Secondly, as we think about some instructions, some commands that are found in these two texts, I would suggest to you that my Father's will in the workplace is that I work hard. You know, as with honor and respect that we just discussed, the quality of being a hard worker, I think in many areas of our society, is also going by the wayside. I'm not saying that there aren't any hard workers in our country anymore. There are. But that idea, that concept, that quality as being a good quality, as being a virtue that all of us as Americans want to have, I think that that is going by the wayside because, again, we are throwing out God in so many places. However, again, it is still God's will, it is still our Father's will that we work hard in anything that we do. And that includes what we do in the workplace. And so, again, just like we did with honor and respect, think about this from both sides of that relationship, that environment. For the employee, doing the Father's will demands, first of all, Colossians chapter 3 at verse 22, giving the employer more than just mere external service, or as he says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, eye service. That's not a term that we use in our everyday speech. But I believe that he is saying to us, Paul is saying to us here in both of those texts, that we need as Christians, if we are an employee, we need to be people who are working hard, not just when the employer is looking over our shoulder, not just when we know that perhaps maybe he has sent our superior to us and we want everything to look good. And it doesn't mean that is what we do when he is looking, but then we kind of slack off when our employer is gone. And we're trying to do all that because maybe we're trying to avoid some kind of punishment, some kind of discipline. Maybe we're trying to avoid losing our job. Or it could be on the positive side that we're trying to appear like we're working hard when he's there and we're slacking off when he's not because we want to receive some kind of praise. We want to receive some kind of promotion from our employer. We want to just look good. We want to have this outward facade that we are a hard worker when we're really not. Or maybe we're trying to do both. Maybe we're trying not to get fired or not to be disciplined, and we're hoping at the same time that we can be promoted or praised. No, for those of us who are Christians and employees, doing our Father's will demands that we give our employer true, wholehearted service. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. Again, the Apostle Paul says there that slaves are to be obedient to those who are masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. That's verse 5. Verse 7 tells us again, with good will, we need to render service to our employer as we're rendering that to God. And I believe that includes whether our employer is watching or not. That we need to be that kind of employee. We need to have that kind of character about us. Doing our Father's will, again, in this regard, in the workplace, also demands that the employee always does what is good for the employer. Verse 8, he tells us, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is slave or free, that we are trying to do good to our employer. We're not trying to do something that would be to his detriment. We're not trying to do something that would harm him. We are always thinking about his best interest. And as the employee works for his employer, the employee must do his work heartily. We read there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. That is the idea that we as employees must work with energy, that we must work with effort. We must not be lazy employees. We must not just enter into our work half-heartedly. There may be some times when we feel like doing that, some days when we feel like doing that. Again, the environment in which some of us work, there may be a lot of lazy people there. There may be a lot of people who are just not really giving the best that they could to their employer. But that must not be true of those of us who are Christians and employees. No, we must give our employer the best that we can do in all that we do. As has often been said, we ought to be known as people who are doing an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. Also, as you think about the passage we looked at just a moment ago in Titus chapter 2, at verse 9, we didn't read there verse 10, but notice what the Apostle Paul says there at the next verse. As he's giving again some commands, some instructions to those who were slaves in relation to their masters, he says, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. That word pilfering is not, or purloining, I think some versions say, is not a word, again, that we use in our everyday speech. But Paul is saying here about those who are Christians and employees, we need to be honest employees. We need to make sure that we are not stealing not only time from our employer, but need to make sure that we are not stealing things from our employer to use for ourselves. That word pilfering or purloining really is the idea of taking something that is not yours and using it for yourself. But also carries with the idea from a financial standpoint of embezzling funds, taking funds that are not yours, stealing those funds, and using them for your own pleasure, for your own interest. Again, maybe that has happened in your workplace. But we as Christians must not be the kind of people of whom it can be said that we are stealing from our employer. On the other side of this work relationship, the Apostle Paul has some things, I believe, to say to those who are employers about working hard. Though he doesn't give specifics, maybe like he does for the employee, I believe that he implies that those who are employers, those who are masters in these two texts, that they too must have that same character of honest, hard work that employees must have. And when the Apostle Paul said there in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 9, that you who are masters, you who are employers, you need to do the same things to them, I believe he's talking about the same things he just referenced there in verses 5 through 8 for employees. And so an employer must be one who works hard at his job, whether anyone is looking or not. Maybe he has a superior or someone that he answers to as well. He certainly answers to God. An employer must be honest in the work that he does. And an employer must not steal from his employees. He must not steal from his superiors if he has someone over him. He certainly must not steal from the government. I think that's a great temptation for those who are employers, especially those who may run small businesses, to say, well, you know, I know I'm supposed to collect this amount in taxes, maybe from my customers, but I'll just kind of pocket that, and you know, the government will never know about that. That should not be true of those of us who are Christians. While our Father's will of working hard on the job may not be the norm where you work, again, we who are His children must be those who are working hard in the workplace. And thirdly and finally this morning, my Father's will in the workplace is that I, as His child, submit to Christ. You know, in every environment that we find ourselves in life, in every relationship that we are engaged in every situation that we find ourselves in, it is always our Father's will that we, as His children, submit to His Son, submit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to stress to you this morning that the workplace is no exception to that rule. In fact, I would say to you even more than that, that everything Paul said in these two texts, in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, all of that is important because it really is, I believe, an expression of our submission to Jesus Christ. Just like the Apostle Paul talked about there at the end of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, and we often use that text, and rightfully so, to make a lot of good applications, to lay down a lot of good truths that apply to our marriages, especially the husband-wife relationship. And that's a great application. That is, you know, one of the applications that Paul intended. Paul makes it very clear as he talks to us about the husband-wife relationship. He's not so much primarily concerned with that relationship. He is more concerned with the relationship of Christ and the church. And he wants us to understand that relationship between Christ and the church so that we can use that and apply that to our marriages, so that we can use that and apply that in our families, so that we can think about that and apply that even in our work relationships. And so I believe it is here, as we in the instructions that we have read this morning, that really Paul's main emphasis and focus in giving us these instructions, wherever we fall in that work relationship, is for us as Christians to always remember that we are first and foremost submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ. And so, some things that we have already discussed this morning, but to think about them from this standpoint. When we as employees genuinely do obey our employer's rules, when we do follow their instructions, we are doing so, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 verse 5 and Colossians 3 and verse 22, we are doing so as to Christ. We are doing so with the mindset that we are reverencing and we are fearing the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we may fear our employer on some level, but that shouldn't be really what motivates us to obey them. That should not be what motivates us to submit to them. At our core, it ought to be that we are submitting ourselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. When we work heartily for our employer, when we give him more than the appearance of just hard work, the Apostle Paul says to us in these two texts that we are doing so really as slaves of Christ. We are doing so as for the Lord. Our employer may or may not appreciate that. Our employer may or may not reward us for that. But we're doing that because we are first Christians. when we as employees render good service to our employer. Again, the Apostle Paul tells us in both of these texts that we're doing so as to the Lord, because we know that it is the Lord Christ whom we serve. We're not just merely serving a person, a man, a company. But more than that, again, our motivation ought to be that we are doing this to serve Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are Christians that may be employers, when we treat employees in the way that God has commanded us to treat them, when we treat them with a gentleness, when we treat them fairly and honestly, we are doing so knowing that both their master and ours is in heaven. And knowing that even though we may be in this high position in this company, that one day we will have to answer. One day we will stand before Jesus Christ the judge. And He's going to be a just judge. He will be a fair judge, an impartial judge. But one day we will stand before Him and we will give an answer to Him. When we submit to Christ on the job, whether we are an employee or an employer, we may very well suffer for that. And like I said to you a few minutes ago, it has been a number of years since I have been out in the public workplace, but I experienced some of that in the jobs that I did. It may be that we are ridiculed by our fellow workers, that we are ridiculed by the one who is over us. It may be that we are threatened in some way. It may even be that we are fired from our job, that we lose our job because we cannot do something in good conscience that our employer wants us to do. But in those times, let us take comfort in what the Apostle Paul tells us here in these two texts. Let us take comfort in knowing that submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ is not in vain. Because if we continue to persist in that, if we persevere in that, if that is who our character is, then it will one day result in us receiving the reward of the inheritance from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that's what Paul tells us there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. Although no one else in our workplace may be submitting themselves to Christ in these ways that we have discussed this morning, again, we who are followers of His, we who are children of God, we must do so because we have first and foremost committed ourselves to Christ. We first and foremost belong to Jesus Christ. We are working for Him. Let us always keep that in mind. I hope that this lesson has been a very practical lesson, as I've intended for it to be, that it will be a very helpful lesson. Because you know what? Doing our Father's will in anything that we have talked about this year and a number of other things that we could talk about, some things that we will discuss in the last 3 months of this year, doing our Father's will is not the easy way. It is not always the way of least resistance. Sometimes it is very difficult for us as we live in this world to do our Father's will. And so it is with doing our Father's will in the workplace. It is not always an easy thing. But as many of us return to work tomorrow, let us be more committed that we're going to do the Father's will in the workplace. And as we do that, let us be people who are seeking God's strength to do His will. And we're turning to the Bible and we're looking for God's wisdom to help us in that. And we're asking God to give us courage to be people who are true Christians, who are doing His will from the heart. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a child of God? If you are not, this is a perfect opportunity for you to change that. We offer, as we extend the invitation of Jesus Christ, an opportunity for you to come and to submit yourself to God. To submit yourself to Him in humble obedience. If you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to become a Christian this very morning. You can come before this audience and confess your faith that you truly do believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. You can come this morning repenting of your sins. It may be that perhaps you have not been the best employee on the job. It may be that you've not been the best employer to your employees. And you need to turn away from that. Turn away from that lifestyle, whatever it is, that lifestyle of sin, and give your heart fully and give your life fully in obedience to Him and to doing His will. If you're not a Christian this morning, having done that, you can be baptized into Jesus Christ, buried with Him in the waters of baptism, and have all of your sins washed away, and you'll rise as a new creation. That doesn't mean if you've had problems on the job, if you haven't been the kind of person that you need to be on the job, that tomorrow morning, boom, everything's just going to be fine. Everything's going to be perfect. There'll be no more problems, no more struggles, no more hurdles to overcome. It is a growing process, but it does mean that when you come out of the waters of baptism, you are a new person as far as God is concerned, that you have devoted and committed yourself to doing His will, and He will help you as time goes along. As Christians, it may be that we have sinned against our Father, and if so, as our brother Terry talked to us about so ably last week, we just need to take that to Him in prayer. And we need to come with humble, contrite hearts and confess whatever we have done that is wrong against Him. Ask for His forgiveness and turn away from that, and He will forgive us. If you need help, if you're struggling maybe to be the kind of employee or employer that you need to be, if you're struggling in any part of your life, your walk as a Christian, and you need the prayers and the encouragement of your brethren here, however you need to respond, if you need to do so to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we would encourage you to do that very thing as we stand and as we sing.